In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Now, I don't usually begin my homily with the sign of the cross or with the glory be, but I wanted to do that today because we're celebrating the feast of the Holy Trinity, and I wanted you to understand and realize that the Trinity is the foundational doctrine of Christianity and very much a part of the prayer life of the church, although most of us here don't think about the Holy Trinity very much at all. It is the foundational doctrine of the Christian community. Classically, to be a Christian, you must believe in two things. One, that Jesus is God and man. You know, Jesus took on our human nature and became one of us. And the second characteristic of being a Christian is believing in the Holy Trinity. Foundational. But most of us in this room would be very nervous if we were asked by the bishop to stand up here with him and explain to the community what we mean by the Holy Trinity. How many of you would be willing to do that? I'm not going to ask you to do that. Oh, there's at least one hand. Two hands. Three hands have gone up. Not very many, though. And how many of you can pass on that foundational part of our faith to your children and to your grandchildren? It's really a mystery, the Holy Trinity. You know, the new atheists, there's a number of people who make a living off of being atheists today and going around and giving talks. And they say sometimes when they give the talks that Christians are cowards because instead of explaining the Holy Trinity, they say it's a mystery as a way of escaping the responsibility of trying to say something. But we do believe it's a mystery. And by that, we don't mean that we can't say anything about God or about the Trinity, but we mean that it's a part of reality that's impossible for us to really fully grasp and understand. But as I've said many times before in this cathedral, there are a lot of mysteries in life. And those of you who are married are sitting next to one of them, right? Your wife or your husband is really a mystery. No matter how long you've been married, you still don't quite understand each other, and the other person surprises you all the time. And if that's true about the person who is your spouse, why wouldn't it be even humongously true about the three persons of the Blessed Trinity? A mystery. But we can say something about God because God has given us a language to do that. And the language that we have from God is Trinitarian language. Now, a couple of theological points before I reflect on today's scripture. Christians are not tritheists. You know, an atheist is one who doesn't believe in God, right? A polytheist is someone who believes in, the word poly in Greek means many. So it's many gods. And then monotheists, the word mono means one, are people who believe in one God. Now, traditionally, Jews and Christians and Muslims are monotheists, believe in one God. But generally, the Jews and the Muslims think that we Christians are tritheists. We say we're monotheists, but we really believe that there are three gods. But they're so close together, we say there's one God, but there's actually three gods. But that's not what we are. Nor are we what has classically been referred to as, let me see if I can remember, I had it in my mind just a minute ago, but I lost it. I wrote it down here so I wouldn't forget, so I'll look it up. We are not modalists. You know, in the tradition of Christians trying to understand the Trinity, some Christians became modalists. And by that, they mean that God is really just one God, but relates to us in three different ways. When God creates, we call him Father. When God saves, we call God the Son. When God inspires us, we say God is the Holy Spirit. But they're just one God acting in three different modes or three different ways. But that's not what we believe either. We believe that God is one, and at the same time, three distinct persons. which means the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father, and the Father is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father nor the Son. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God, but three distinct persons. Now, how do we know this? We know it because Jesus tells us so. And we're going to look at today's scriptures to understand that. You know, there's two ways of knowing things from a Christian perspective. One way is using our imagination and our curiosity and our reason. For example, we Christians believe that we can come to believe in God by looking at the world around us. It's a beautiful world with order. It's full of extraordinary things. And this can lead us, using our creativity and our reason, to come to the conclusion that there must be a God who is a creator who has made all of this. It's reasonable. Some people don't agree, but at least it's reasonable to believe that, right? So we come to that conclusion by using our human faculties. But that God is a Trinity is not something you can arrive at by using your imagination and your reason. And the reason why we believe that God is a Trinity is because God has revealed that to us. And the word revelation in the Christian context means this is a part of our faith that we believe to be true that has been given to us as an act of love by God, not something we can arrive at through our own reason. And that's the Holy Trinity, because who would ever imagine that God is at the same time one and three? I mean, it's not something that is reasonable or something that we would discover on our own. So let's look at today's scripture readings and let them help us to understand something about God. Okay? The first reading is from the Old Testament, from the book of Exodus. And to understand this reading, once again, we have to understand the context. This moment takes place in the life of the Jewish people at the foot of Mount Sinai. Moses had led them from slavery in Egypt through the Red Sea, and they're wandering around in the desert. And God takes them to Mount Sinai, where he's going to give them the law, the Ten Commandments. And Moses, called by God, goes to the top of the mountain. And he's up there a very long time. And because he's gone for such a long time, the people waiting below become restless. They begin to doubt God. And Moses' brother, Aaron, in order to calm them down, says, "Give me all your gold, and I'll melt it down, and I will make a golden calf, and we can worship the golden calf as our God." Now, can you imagine this? After all that God had done for the Jewish people, they're entering into what we refer to as polygamy, worshiping many and false gods. So that's the context of this story. Well, Moses eventually comes down from the mountain. And when he sees the Jewish people acting this way, acting unfaithfully, he throws the Ten Commandments on the ground and he breaks them. Moses was the first one to break all the Ten Commandments, you know, when he threw them on the ground like that. And then God said, "Come back to the mountain." And this reading begins with Moses taking those broken tablets of the law and going back up the mountain. And when he gets there, this is what happens. This is our reading today. "Having come down in the cloud, the Lord stood with Moses there and proclaimed his name, Lord." The Hebrew word for Lord is Adonai. You know, the name that God gave Moses, which begins with a Y, was considered so sacred that the Jewish people never actually used it. They actually substituted the word Lord for God's proper name. In fact, in the Catholic Church, Pope Benedict has asked us not to use it, at least not commonly. It's the word Yahweh. You know, you might notice that in the past we kind of used it often, but in the church today, we're not using it at all. We're imitating our Jewish brothers and sisters who consider that name so very sacred that we just don't use it. But God gave Moses his name. Now, do we give our name to strangers usually? Not often. I mean, maybe we're more casual about this now than they were in Moses' day. But in Moses' day, you never gave anybody your name that you didn't trust, because they would have power over you if they knew your name. And God chose to give these unfaithful people who were worshiping a golden calf, after he brought them out of slavery in Egypt, he decided to give those same people his name, to entrust himself to them. And then he goes on and says, "Thus the Lord passed before Moses and cried out, 'The Lord, a merciful and gracious God, slow to anger, rich in kindness and fidelity.'" That's what God is. That's what God is like. He's a God who is merciful on these sinful people, who is gracious despite their rejection of him. He's slow to anger. We all would be angry in a situation like that if people treated us that way. He's rich in kindness, not just kind, but abundantly kind, and is faithful in the face of our infidelity. That's what God is like. Our God is a God who wants a real relationship with you and you and you and you and me. This is the creator of the universe, the one who made everything. He's not satisfied with being distant from us, but wants to give us a relationship and draw close to us. Okay? So that's a foundational understanding that we share with the Jews about what God is like. Now we go to today's second reading. And the part of the reading that I'm going to repeat is the last paragraph, which is the reason it's in our selection of readings today. These are the words: "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you." Where have you heard that before? You know, it's a greeting that I use at the beginning of Mass. You know, it's a greeting that comes directly from Scripture. This is the conclusion of St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. It's a farewell blessing that he's giving the people that he's writing to. And this teaches us that in the earliest days of the church, from the very beginning, our Christian community has always seen God as a trinity of persons. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And we respond, "And with your spirit." And you know, in the Gospel of St. Matthew, when Jesus was about to ascend to the Father after his death and resurrection, he told his disciples, "Go to all parts of the world, baptizing people." How? "In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So right from the very beginning, the church understood that the mystery who is God is also a Trinity. One God, three distinct persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So, God relates to you and God relates to me as a Trinity. You know, the Father created us, the Son has redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit inspires us. Now, let's look at this in the light of today's brief gospel passage. This is one of the most popular parts of the New Testament. I don't think I see many bumper stickers here in Pennsylvania with this on it, but if you drive around Colorado, where there are a lot of evangelical Christians all over the place, they on the back of their cars and bumper stickers, they have John 3:16, chapter 3 of St. John's Gospel, verse 16, which is the first part of this reading. I'll repeat it to you. "God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You know, it's really a proclamation that God is love. Now, when we talk about the Holy Trinity and we say God is love, we don't simply mean that God loves us, although he does immensely beyond our imagination. But when we say God is a trinity of persons in unity, we say that the very nature of God is love. Not just the way he relates to us, but the way God is inside himself or within himself. Or, you know, it's hard to use language that actually captures the mystery. But the Trinity is the Father loving the Son, and the Father and the Son loving the Holy Spirit through all eternity, from the very beginning, that God, by his very nature, is a community of love. And that's what we mean when we say God is love, that he himself is love. Not that he gives love, not only that he gives love to others like ourselves, but God is love, is complete love. That's how you describe God. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit loving each other through all eternity. A love that's so great that it pours itself out in creation. You know, the reason God created the world is so that he could give himself away to what was not God. That's why we exist. That's why the world exists. That's why all of the universe exists. That God created what was not God in order to give himself away in love. And we learn from the very first part of the Bible, from the book of Genesis, that when God created us, when God created human beings, he made us how? In the image and likeness of God. Which means that you and I are also made for community, for love. And we believe as Christians that all of creation is patterned on the life of the Trinity. An example is our family life. You know, we believe it isn't always the case in all families because we have fractured families and all kinds of difficulties. But we all know that we all long for a family that's whole. And a family that's whole would be a father and a mother loving each other and having children, which is Trinitarian in our understanding. You know, the Father and the Son love each other, and the Holy Spirit is the object of their love. In the same way, our families are patterned after love, and we're patterned after self-giving. The way we find happiness is to deny ourselves and to give ourselves away. That's what love is about. Love is about sacrificing ourselves for others, for God, and also for our brothers and sisters, beginning with our families, with our spouses and our children. That's Trinitarian, you know. And that's why the Trinity is the foundational doctrine of our church. Not only because it says what God is like, but it also says what you and I are like, because we're made after the pattern of God. So if you want to be happy, you have to live a communitarian life of self-giving, giving yourself away in love as God does. So this is a wonderful feast. We should spend a lot more time thinking about the Holy Trinity and the implications for our own Christian lives. It's not an esoteric doctrine, a theory, but it has practical ramifications in our day-to-day life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and he sends the Holy Spirit upon us because he loves us every day. May God bring to completion the mystery of the Trinity in our lives.